I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, welcome to the Mike Madison Show. Thanks for joining me today for 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock here on WYAB 103.9. You've got a safe space, a little island here for independent thinkers out there, beholden to no political party, no politician. Just call them as we see them. Today's Friday. I've got a, this is one of those days where as I'm putting my notes together, I'm just realizing, well, there's no way I have time for all of this. I guess I'll try to figure it out on the fly. Particularly next hour, I've got my, at 10 o'clock is every Friday, False Flag Friday. There is actually a great deal of stuff going on around the world right now. We would not know it here with the mainstream media and our fixation on the social unrest and the COVID itself. But there's actually a lot of things going on that I think people should be aware of. And then we'll finish up the show as we do every Friday with a look back at the lunacy of the last week. There is never a shortage of things going into that segment these days. I have got clips from a Dateline, an NBC Dateline special that are just absolutely amazing. Got into a conversation yesterday with a listener about just exactly how bad the mainstream media in the United States is. And, you know, every day you think they cannot get any worse, and the next day they prove you wrong. This Dateline segment, it is a, it's just a race-baiting segment. It is stunning. They do an experiment on racism, and it's one of these traps. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's just absolutely stunning to watch what's going on. We're living in truly bizarro times, but we'll get to that next hour. Quote of the day today is from H.L. Mencken. He said, the men the American public admire and reward most extravagantly are the most daring liars. The men they detest and punish most violently are those who try to tell them the truth. And really, when you look particularly now at the cancel culture, we'll go after anybody. We'll talk a little bit about the open letter against the cancel culture. People are having to even retreat from that. It's truly the cancel mob is out in full force right now. I encourage people on the left to abandon that immediately. You will regret it if you do not allow free speech in this country. But anyway, we'll get to that later. I've got a new segment I'm going to do now. And I think it's a public service. When you turn on the mainstream news now, and this is why I've turned it off, but it's still going on, you're barraged with the health emergency in the United States, right? Out of a 30-minute nightly news broadcast on any of the major networks, 20 minutes of that is COVID-19. And it breathlessly reports the case numbers and the death numbers. More the case numbers now, right? Because the deaths are just not happening like they were. They're down something like 92%, maybe up a tiny bit now. Maybe they're only down 85%. But so I felt like, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. And I've got a solution here. A lot of talk radio is criticized for the fact that we can point out things, but we don't give any solutions. So I've got solutions for you within the context of what we're experiencing today. As of today, this is what I would flash on a website or on a news broadcast if I could. As of today, the total deaths so far this year from medical mistakes. Now, right now, we're at about 133 deaths from COVID, and we are cowering in our homes, and we're being toyed with that we may reshut the economy down, particularly in something like 39 states. They're punishing us for opening too soon is what they're doing, trying to make an example out of us. The deaths are still way, way, way down, but anyway, About 133 deaths, 133,000 deaths from COVID so far. Yet, I am here to tell you and break the news and to call great alarm to the fact that as of today in the United States, there have been 189,369 deaths to medical mistakes. As of today, there are 66,279 deaths from properly prescribed and properly taken pharmaceuticals. Now, here's where it gets really big. And see, I think I should update these figures every day. Isn't the idea, as I understand it, the reason for the constant barrage of cases and deaths from COVID-19 and all of the overarching dictates they give us is they want to what? What are the two goals, right? There's two goals. We want to not overburden the hospital system, right? That's the first one. That was the biggie when we were told to just flatten the curve and then they'd let us free. And then the other one is we want to save lives. So within that context, if we are willing to use the government and little local tyrants to shut down the economy and do all these draconian moves, and I just heard that, I can't verify this, that a business could be fined maybe up to $3,000 if people that walk in don't have a mask on and they don't kick them out of the store. $3,000 for a business owner who's already been struggling. It's just absolutely insane. But with that in mind, our goal is to reduce hospitalizations, make sure the hospital system is not overwhelmed, and we want to save lives. And so I give you these statistics. As of today in the United States, there have been 789,000 and 41 new diabetes cases. As a matter of fact, when it comes to the hospitalization, if we need to save hospital beds, as of today, there have been 4,103,013 hospitalizations due to diabetes in this country as of today. New deaths from diabetes so far this year, 142,396 people have died from diabetes, up to and including today. Now, these numbers dwarf COVID in every category. New cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Deaths are pretty close. They're pretty close. But when it comes to hospitalizations, right now we've seen 4,103,013 hospitalizations. If we want to clear out the hospitals, I say we need a call to action to immediately address this diabetes outbreak that we have in this country. So if we're told that with COVID we want to, number one, stop overloading the hospitals, it seems like maybe we should target this 4,103,013 hospitalizations to diabetes as of today for 2020. And if we want to save lives, we currently have more deaths so far this year to diabetes, and this happens every year, but even this year, in the age of COVID, we have more deaths related to diabetes right now than we do that. So for those two things. Now, most of these cases are type 2 diabetes, and all are mostly preventable deaths. Type 1 diabetes is a different animal, but what we have seen is a prevalence and a massive uptick over the years of type 2 diabetes. So what should we do to save lives and to keep from swamping our hospitals? I am announcing some, as I say, this show is about solutions. I'm announcing some policies that should be immediately implemented. If you believe that the official reaction to COVID and shutting down schools and shutting down events and shutting down businesses and stopping travel and making people stay at home, if you're okay with that, then shouldn't we target something that is even more horribly impacting the health and the life and death of American citizens? So if you believe that COVID is justified in all of the emergency measures we've taken, all these draconian policies, then I've got some policies for you when it comes to diabetes, because this diabetic problem just gets worse every year. It's not even a one-off. And we don't have a vaccine for diabetes, do we? So we need to take immediate action. We need to immediately remove all sugary drinks, snacks, and empty carb foods. Immediately. By dictate of the government, high fructose corn syrup has got to go in all of its forms, in all foods, immediately. We need to force citizens to eat organic vegetables with every single meal. I mean, I don't see a way. I mean, isn't this what we're trying to do with society now? I mean, we've decided we let the government dictate our lives based on hospitalizations and cases and deaths. Why is this different? I'm confused. So we need to immediately force citizens. I don't know. You decide the mechanism for it. Cameras in the home. Some kind of nutritional testing every night before you go to bed that you download to a smartphone and it reports your nutrient intake for the day. If we're willing to let the government take over in the face of a crisis like we have with COVID, then these are logical steps. Here's another one. We need to start at birth and enforce government-mandated blood glucose checks for every single American every day. I don't know. Maybe is every day, is that too extreme? Every week? Maybe we could just do every week. That'd save us a little bit of money and a little bit of hassle. But absolutely, the government needs to step in and test the blood glucose levels of every human being, every American citizen, at least once a week, right? And when you go to a movie or a school or a barbershop or a restaurant, they should do a little finger stick, right? A blood glucose test before you enter any of these establishments, particularly where there's food involved. And if you are found to be diabetic or pre-diabetic, you should be quarantined to a vegan facility for 30 days until your blood sugar goes back to normal. Now, does this sound stupid to you? Does it sound crazy? Does that sound like something we shouldn't? Because I don't understand why we're not already doing this. If we are willing to suspend our freedoms, to let the government shut our businesses down and fine us and penalize us for trying to operate a lawful business like a barbershop or a restaurant, then we have already accepted that the government is all-powerful and the government tells us it's because they love us and they want to keep us healthy and they want to keep us out of the hospitals and they want to keep us from dying. Well, if that's the case, then I've got your target right here. 30-day quarantine to anybody pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetes. Immediately. 30-day detox, vegan detox. Do you know how many of the 4,103,013 hospitalizations we could save every year? Isn't this our goal? To free up hospital beds? And with my plan here, you don't even have to shut businesses down. How about that? Don't even have to shut schools down. As a matter of fact, you want those kids coming to school so you can test that blood sugar and pull them out of the population and detox them on a vegan diet before they actually become fully type 2 diabetic. It's a great plan. I don't quite understand why we're not doing this if the stated goals for COVID are the same thing. We've got to save the hospitals. That's what they've tell us. And we've got to save lives. So far, you would have saved about 142,000 lives this year if they just went in and monitored every single thing we did and outlawed every single thing that is a risk to developing type 2 diabetes, starting with high fructose corn syrup and then going down the list of sugary drinks and empty carbs. Now, if you can see some kind of a difference between what I'm saying and what's being done right now, then I'd like to let you know, because it seems to be exactly the same thing to me. Now, some people will say, well, you don't understand, Mike. It's different because this travels through the air, and this is a communicable disease. Diabetes is a lifestyle disease for, by and large, not for everybody, but by and large, type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle disease. It's an environment. It's your environment and the food. Well, I mean, a death is a death. Does it really matter how you became sick and in the hospital? For the 4 million people that have so far this year been hospitalized for diabetes, does it really matter that it didn't come through the air, that it came through the food? They don't tell us that we need to save hospital beds from a communicable disease. They tell us we need to save hospital beds so we don't overwhelm the system for any reason. Now, I started with diabetes because it's one of the biggest things we face, but I got to tell you, NASCAR makes hell of a car. You ever seen some of these catastrophic crashes of a NASCAR car? It just looks like certain death. And all of a sudden, you see this car hit the wall, burst into flames, flip over 8 times, land on the infield upside down, and what happens? That driver crawls out. Absolutely amazing. He's got like a sprained ankle and a cracked rib and a concussion. But he survives, and you just think, well, that's amazing. Well, I got to tell you, if the government truly loves us, they can obviously create a car that is almost virtually indestructible and end all traffic fatalities. Now, of course, that car is going to cost each one of us about $150,000. No more $30,000 cars. We can't do that because the government loves us. They may you understand what I'm saying? For all of you out there who believes it is the government's job to eliminate all risk from society, to protect us all because you think they love you, well, I've just given you some solutions to save more people, to stop more hospitalizations. Hell, I just solved the problem of automobile deaths. So the question is, how far are we going to go? It doesn't seem we're having that debate. We're allowing anything to happen right now in the context of a disease that is about 99.2% survivable. So I say, if we're going to go with it, go with it. I'm just playing by their rules. Seems to make perfect sense to me. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. You know, I have these conversations most recently with my son. He's 19 years old, and he's a little kind of back and forth on the COVID stuff, but you can understand he doesn't have much life context. You know, he's just kind of entering the world. I cannot begin to tell you how full of mush my head was when I was 19 years old. And I'll tell you right now, you know what my stance on COVID and masks and all that stuff, you know what would have decided that when I was 19 years old? Whether or not the girl I liked was pro or anti-mask. That's how I would have made my decision. I mean, I had my priorities straight. I was a 19-year-old dude. I didn't have any real-world context. But what I try to explain to my son, and I think needs to not only be explained to the 19-year-olds out there, but apparently the 32-year-olds, the 52-year-olds out there, is that freedom is not easy. It is not guaranteed to have no risk. A tragic story of that actress. I don't know anything about her. I guess she was from Glee. She and her son went out on a boat, and apparently they both got off of the boat. Looked like it was a pontoon boat, from what I understand. They went out for a swim. Luckily, her 4-year-old son was able to get back on the boat, and apparently, I mean, if the story holds up, it is right now, she couldn't get back in the boat. It's absolutely horrific and tragic, and a poor 4-year-old child. She looked like she really loved her son. It's a horrific story. That's life. You're able to rent a boat and go out and go swimming. This idea that we can go to some lengths and alleviate risk in this society with no cost-benefit analysis whatsoever is how they're approaching COVID. Now, I made the example just a second ago that we can create a car where we will dramatically, I mean, if you look at what NASCAR and IndyCars do to protect their drivers, the technology is there to save 99% of people from fatal car accidents. The problem is you're going to have to spend $150,000 on a car minimum. And people can't do that. You can take that even further. People just shouldn't be allowed to drive. I mean, there's all kinds of lengths you can take. And when it comes to COVID, the thing that I'm scratching my head about and the thing I don't understand about people demanding that businesses be closed. Now, typically, it's people who are still drawing a paycheck. You know, people in the media, politicians, haven't missed a check. Got full insurance coverage. They're sitting pretty. This hasn't affected them at all. In a lot of cases, they've garnered more power, more clicks, more views, better ratings. They're benefiting from this. But for those of you out there that are not, that are asking for the government to take more control of this situation. They're not handling it right. Are you not educated about it? Can you not think for yourself? Can you not operate in a society with some level of risk? Do you walk downstairs? I don't know how many falls, trips and falls there are. Stairs can be a very dangerous thing, but we decide it's okay. A sharp stair is okay. It gets us from the first floor to the second floor, so we accept that risk, and we're just careful. We don't run down the stairs. If the outdoor stairs are wet, we walk slower. We make sure we really grip the handrail. Now, I don't know if this is oversimplistic, if my sarcasm is kind of lost on people with this idea of diabetes, but I think it's very accurate. I mean, seriously, if you want to tackle, if our goal is to empty out the hospitals and make sure we're not overusing the beds and taxing the medical system, I just told you, 4 million people in this country so far this year have been hospitalized for diabetes. If our goal is to not overwhelm the healthcare system, then the logic dictates from our COVID response that we need to immediately enact drastic controls over people's dietary habits to stop that 4 million hospitalizations for diabetes. I don't see the difference. Now, actually, I don't want that to happen. And that's why I don't want to see the government taking control of all levers of society. I'm sick to death of watching these sporting events and schools canceling, and this debate. Teachers, please, don't snowflake out on us. I understand. If you're an older teacher and you're taking care of your mom or your dad at home, you might not want to be around a bunch of kids right now. I get that. That's fine. But don't penalize the kids for it. Schooling is about educating the children. It's not about providing jobs for teachers. You might have to sit out a year. There's all kinds of things happen. You know, a teacher can slip and fall or break their back. You don't get to bring the classroom to your hospital room so that you can stay employed. You got to take some time off to heal and adjust to life, but let the kids keep getting educated. When a teacher goes down with an injury or an illness, they don't cancel the class because the teacher can't be in there. You can take all of the steps you want to. The countries have opened schools, and these kids aren't dying. I mean, the hysteria surrounding this thing is stunning to me. It's fear. It is absolutely fear. Was it Kennedy? Was Kennedy, though? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, boy, was he right. Absolutely, he was right. The bottom line is, in a free country, there's risk. Every time you walk out the door, you know, that poor girl who has died, apparently, or she's missing, presumed drown, put out a tweet several days before, an Instagram post or something with a great picture of her. She's a beautiful girl. She said, you know, live every day. You're not guaranteed a tomorrow. And that's true. And it's particularly true in a free society. Don't allow the government to tell you that they need to control everything because they can guarantee you some level of safety. You're smarter than that. You're smart enough to navigate the world by yourself. We've got all the information we need. And when they get new information, I'm all for them coming out and saying, hey, we found out that, you know, this might help you a little bit or that might help you a little bit. But they don't do that. It's not about education. It's about dictation. And in the United States, that doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work to keep it the United States and do dictation the way that they've done it. Because if you go down that slope of enacting, of just destroying people's lives at the whim of a politician or a bureaucrat, you decide who's open, who's closed, who's essential, who's non-essential. If you go down that thing, just like I'm talking about with diabetes, you can go all the way down. And you can have the safest country on planet Earth, but you can't have it along with freedom. Ultimately, that's the decision you got to make. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. If you want to join the show. Here, headlines kind of crack me up sometimes. We live in a truly bizarre world where the world is flipped on top of its head. Logic is backwards. There is no logic. It's all emotion driven now, but everything's so, it's just on its head. The world is just bizarre. Here was one I saw. Mexico border towns try to stop Americans crossing. Yeah, those Mexicans don't want any of those American refugees. Those illegal American immigrants crossing over the border, because now we're the diseased people. They want to keep us in. You know, Ron Paul famously said, I've been agnostic on the wall, which doesn't make a lot of people happy, because I'm agnostic on it because I tell you it wasn't ever going to happen, first of all. I've said that since day one. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to build the wall. And if by some stretch of some miracle that a wall was actually built on our southern border, it's going to be $40, $50, $100 billion wasted so that the next person that comes in or the next change in leadership, it just big sections of it get torn down. I mean, you know, there's policies you change that will discourage illegal immigration into a system of dependence. But anyway, I digress. Ron Paul was pretty famous in saying, look, he's not a big fan of walls because if we build a wall on the southern border, walls to keep people out are oftentimes used to keep people in. And this may be the case, as this headline says, Mexico border towns try to stop Americans crossing. Also, this one, I mean, some of this stuff you can't make up. California, I've reported on before, has a law, or I guess you can't call it a law because it's a dictate. A decree from Gavin Newsom's office in California. You can't sing in church. I don't know if they, you know, put a sniper in the back of the church. I don't know exactly what they do. They tase you if you start. I mean, even a big hallelujah can probably get you a year in jail in California, but you can't sing in church. Apparently they will let you go to church. I'm not sure about humming. I'd have to check and see. Maybe you can hum. Can you hum a hymn? You're just hymning and humming in a church, but you can't sing. And then I saw this. Reopened theme parks ban screaming on roller coasters. You know what? I tell you what. Before I embarrass myself, no. See, at first I thought, well, maybe I just clipped the headline, but I've got the link here. I thought maybe that's the Onion. Maybe I'm getting punked. Nope. Wall Street Journal. Reopened theme parks ban screaming on roller coasters. Oh, I'm sorry. I laughed. Is laughing allowed? I apologize to all the hosts that follow me as I sit behind this microphone laughing. Careful, I may sing. Yesterday, I did a show. I don't know if it's good form to do a radio show referring to the day before. Not everybody listens to every show, but I did a show with an erroneous report on Jackson changing its name. I wanted to address something about that. I got a caller real quick. We'll take that first. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
You recall the ban on open carry Jackson.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was constitutionally allowed, and that, of course, defeated the edict from Governor Chakwe. Anyway, these other things that we're talking about, the can't sing in church or whatever, what is the legal authority that gives these fearless leaders the the ability to do that to us?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's what a lot of people have been asking. Here's how I understand it, and I've said many times, I need like a constitutional – in this day and time, I need like a constitutional scholar to walk around with me so I can – or at least on this show every day so I can we can ask these questions. Here's how I understand it. When a municipality, and I guess that's at just about any level, county, city, state, whatever, declares an emergency, it confers these new powers on the leader. And I think that's under the cloak of what we're doing right now. The question then becomes to me is that, are the powers as specific as they are? I mean, how do you have the power in a public health emergency? Let's say this was, you know, the zombie apocalypse or Ebola or you know, the bubonic plague. How does an authority say, okay, we need to take these extreme measures, but we're only going to apply them to the restaurant and not the Walmart? You know what I mean? It's the randomness with which these things. Now, I don't accept them, probably like you do, I don't accept them as these broad sweeping powers. They feel wildly unconstitutional to me. But under the cover of this idea that an emergency declaration gives them some extra powers, I don't know how they can so specifically target them as to pick the winners and losers in our society now.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like to see. If there's a lawyer out there who has any expertise in this particular field and a little time on his hands, he could make quite a name for himself challenging some of these things.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Now, I think there's gym owners in, I believe it's California, that are now challenging this. I mean, I think we will see more of that. I don't know. You know, this stuff moves so slow. But the thing is that people need to understand these kinds of overreaches of power don't stop. So even though coronavirus, God willing, may be gone in 6 months or a year as a topic, but we will be on to either a new disease or a new terrorist attack or anything. These powers don't go away. I mean, the government, when it starts to do something new, boy, it retains those things. So it needs to be challenged now, even if coronavirus has gone away, so we can set some guardrails on these people. They've gone insane with power.
Well, I think there's a certain segment of these leaders that are testing to see what we'll put up with.
Oh, look, that's been happening for forever. Look at the Patriot Act. You know, when I appeal to a conservative audience on this thing, you want to talk about, I mean, conservatives have by and large supported essentially a Soviet-style surveillance system on our country. And they name it the Patriot Act. They are always probing, and we let our guards down. And this is part of my problem with this two-party system, too, that everybody is so partisan that when our side does these overarching things, we pretend like it's no big deal. We twist our mind to try to explain why it's okay, both the left and the right. When Obama launches four new wars, it seems to be okay because of X, Y, and Z. We have to be on guard all the time, and we just let them keep taking an inch, and they will get a mile.
Well, Mike, let me tell you, you have expressed your misgivings about twisting the tails of the Republican listeners. But here's a conservative libertarian that thinks you're right on spot.
Well, there we go. That makes two of us. All right, I'm I'm keeping track. Man, I appreciate it, and I thank you for the call.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back if I can. If you want to call in, I need this stuff. I mean, you know, it is just to the point I don't really know almost how to even approach this subject. Things have gotten so weird, and I don't see any discussion on this stuff. Everybody is already in their camps. Many people, particularly on the conservative side, this has gotten very political. Liberals are more have a more of a proclivity for shutdowns and these kinds of things. I can't really understand it. There's not a lot of discussion about this stuff going on. I've tried to change some minds on it. I don't know if I talked about this. I've got a friend, girl that I see out in Colorado. She's got a great job. She's a pharmaceutical rep. Her job's gotten easier since this thing happened. She's still making the same money because people are still filling prescriptions, but she doesn't have to call on doctor's offices. She doesn't have to go give lunches. She doesn't have to go to conferences. She does her conferences by Zoom. She just calls, some food delivery service and sends a lunch to a doctor's office. She gets to stay home, and trust me, she lives in paradise. She lives at the foothill of the Rockies with a bunch of land and tall trees, and it's you know, it's 74 degrees as a high where she is. She's at about 85. I mean, her life is the dream. And she just thinks we just opened up too soon. And, you know, I had this conversation with her the other day. I'll give her my little statistics, whether it worked or not. But I said, you know, you have to also understand, and this is my whole risk versus reward. She's benefited from all this, and she can't, you know, she, not that she can't see it, but she wasn't looking at the cost to so many people that are not in her position. She's much more open-minded than most people that I know on the left or the right. But the inability to see outside of our own single-minded perspective is what harms us. And I just don't see much, you know, rational discussion going on about any of this. It's just you just take your side and you stick to it. I don't do that here. I try to talk through the topic. It's difficult these days. I'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, only a couple of minutes left to the end of this hour. I wanted to address something. So yesterday, there was a statement put out by Chukwe Lumumba, mayor of Jackson, who, it was a, you had to kind of parse. It was a little bit of a confusing statement. He said he wanted to divorce the name of Jackson away from Andrew Jackson and move it towards the meaning of Jackson, which is, you know, God's light shines on, or God shines his favor on us, something along those lines. But fine with me. You know, I understand where he's coming from on that. But the way it was first interpreted was that he wanted to divorce us from that, change the name of Jackson. This is how I took it. Now, I had some fun with the segment. We tried to rename Jackson with something non-offensive, you know, which is, I mean, almost impossible to find something with no level of controversy, because the outrage mob and the cancel culture will come for anything. Doesn't matter how long ago, doesn't matter anything. A couple of callers called and had derogatory names for Jackson. I'll just put it that way. I'm not going to repeat what they said. I bring it up for this reason. We've got to decide. I believe we are at the hearts and minds stage of this. Democrats, Republicans have been arguing for years and years, right? But, you know, we kind of soldiered on. Things are getting so serious now, to me, that it's time to stop screaming at each other and start talking, seeing if you can win people over. If you've got a movement right now that is trying to, that's very loud, I don't know how big it is. I really don't have a context. You know, we have to always understand that sometimes just a small fraction of the people can make a big ruckus and make it feel like, you know, millions and millions of people believe these things. But we've got a very loud voice right now, essentially targeting the United States and ripping down statues and calling us, just bottom line, a racist nation, just across the board. Well, most of us know that that is just not true. Is there racism? Absolutely. You know what, there's what I've said before, there are racists out there of every color, but there are racists out there just like there are a-holes, and you're never going to get rid of them. I don't care how many statues you tear down. I don't care. Matter of fact, when you start tearing down statues and accusing everybody of being a racist, you actually probably create more racists. So this is advice for the left and the right. If you want to actually bring somebody to your side, screaming at them does not work. And some of the derogatory terms that people called in, this live radio, to say about Jackson, what you're doing is you're feeding the left. So imagine this scenario. Everybody, we're accused of being a racist nation. To many of us, we look around and we go, that's weird. 8 years of a black president. We hold a great deal of black people up as great examples. They're some of the most successful people in many different fields. And we coexist. We live in Mississippi. Blacks and whites coexist on a daily basis everywhere. We're not the Northeast. We're not Montana. I mean, we look around and just go, no, it's not. We just don't think it is. But then when somebody calls in and says something, you just feed the left. Look, there it is. There it is. So many people embolden these moves by trying to lash out at them, and you're just proving their point. This is a problem I have with Donald Trump. Donald Trump says things to feed the left. Is Donald Trump a Russian stooge? Absolutely not. Is he 90% of the things that they lob at Donald Trump are just absolutely ridiculous and unfair attacks. But on the other 10%, he says things that feeds them. He gives them their talking points. Sometimes it's a misstatement. Sometimes he just messes up some words, which we all do. I do it too. You know, if you're Donald Trump, if you're on the left, come on, this guy has to talk or does talk. Sometimes he talks too much, but still, he does interviews, he makes speeches, he has to be at press conferences, he's at cabinet meetings. You think you could seriously go for 3.5 years in the public eye and never say anything that wasn't, you know, exactly right, particularly by today's standards? My point being, don't feed the other side when you do things. Don't feed them by calling them names. You just make that other side, the other movement, bigger. If you want to fight against what you think is unfair of just labeling everybody who's white or the entire United States as just a racist nation, then don't go around saying racist things. Now, you may be a racist. And this can be people of different colors. I'm going to show you when we get to next hour and I play you some of the stuff from this Dateline special, you'll realize there's white racist, black racist. I mean, it's insanity. But we're so bad about feeding the other side, taking the bait and feeding it. And I think we've kind of just, this feels serious. I was talking to another friend last night. I hate to keep mentioning this, but I've been really studying what happened in 1968. And if you look at the 1968-69 riots, they were bad. They're worse than what we've just seen for looting and store burning and violence in the streets between the police and protesters. It was bad. And it's encouraging to me a little bit in a weird way, because I think, okay, well, it was that bad then, we got through it. Maybe we'll get through it this time. There are ways it's different. I'll also tell you, boy, in looking at this footage, the way that the black community was treated back then by police and by a lot of white people, just 50 years ago, wasn't that long ago, it is horrific to watch. And for us to expect the black community to just forget that is insane. The dogs sicked on people. I saw these two kids who were just trying to go to Alabama. This is when George Wallace stood in the door. This is a black guy and a black girl. The guy's wearing a suit and tie. He's heading to register for class. She's dressed in a skirt and got her hair done nice. They're wearing like a string of pearls, trying to go register to Alabama. And there's like white sorority girls on the side screaming epithets at her. It was a horrible, horrible time. We got through it, so that's encouraging. But right now, the division, don't feed it. That's my point. Don't feed it. Don't wade in and feed this hatred. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday, so we got a couple of segments we usually finish the week up with. First one here is what I've been calling False Flag Friday, or They call lies and the lying liars that lie us into endless wars. You can pick your title here. It's just the great con job of keeping America constantly at war. So we're going to focus a little bit on that. There's actually things going on around the planet, foreign policy-wise, I'm going to keep our eye on, because I got to tell you, in times of economic crisis, sometimes they choose war to divert people's eyes away from a failing economy, a failed reaction to coronavirus. And I don't mean failed like Trump didn't do enough. I mean like everybody did too much. But anyway, we're keeping our eye on it here for at least 30 minutes a week while we're wrapped up in everything else and all the rest of the major news media. In terms of False Flag Friday, I'm just asking, has anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell yet? Post-arrest. Every story I see about the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell comes with a picture from 2007 or 1991. I'm just finding it weird. I know I've got some good researchers out there, and I'm not necessarily drawing a conclusion from it. I just find it odd. I'm cynical about whether we will actually find true justice for the elites that were involved in this decades-long child sex trafficking ring, and I find it curious that nobody has snapped a picture of her being taken to a prison van, or we haven't seen a mugshot. I might have missed it. I might have just missed it. The problem is, nobody can send anything to me, and I have looked. Poor Gary Busey had his mugshot splashed around the world. If you haven't seen Gary Busey mugshot, take a look. Not his finest hour. We always see pictures of these arrests. We saw the raid on Roger Stone's home at 5:30 in the morning. He was attacked like he was some kind of a terrorist suspect at 5:30 in the morning. And we got live footage of that. The media seemed, strangely enough, they were there at the time. But for some reason, I have seen no pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell post-arrest. So as soon as anybody sees one of those, it's MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Just curious, just saying. I wasn't here last Friday, so I need to address a story that's a little bit old, but it is another one of these false flag hysteria trying to gin up problems for us to keep us at constant tension with other countries. And this is the Russian bounty story. This is another Russia hoax, apparently. The story I pulled for this even last week, but I wasn't here. A who's who of top intelligence and military officials have now denied the Russian bounties to kill American troops in Afghanistan story, which originated in, of course, the New York Times weeks ago. The outlets behind the initial reporting themselves have been slowly forced to qualify the story into oblivion. And yet, this is the discouraging part and why I stay with this segment. I know most people don't care. You care more about tweets and what an NFL player said than, you know, most of the big stuff around the world. But somebody's got to combat this propaganda. And yet a new Reuters Ipsos poll finds that 60% of Americans view that allegation as believable. Reuters describes of the poll, quote, a majority of Americans believe that Russia paid the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan last year amid negotiations to end the war. And more than half want to respond with new economic sanctions against Moscow, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll released on Wednesday. 9% even supported attacking Russia outright. If you're in that 9%, seek help. This is just shows the power of propaganda. What this also shows to all you peace and love Democrats, all you love and light liberals, is that the Democratic Party is trying to stop our withdrawal from the longest war America has ever fought, where people are dying every day in that country. Luckily, our troops are not dying in any large numbers. Of course, one is too large for being halfway around the planet trying to micromanage a country. But innocent people in Afghanistan are still dying, and all you love and light liberals out there are supporting the party that will not let us get out of these wars. Now, since I am an equal opportunity basher, the Lincoln Project, this is this group of never Trump Republicans, just a bunch of scumbags. But I'm going to make a point about this. They're running a commercial based on this. The Lincoln Project is a group of these never Trump Republicans. They are neocon warmongers is what they are. And now they're a darling of the left. The left loves their neocon warmongers now because these people don't like Trump either. And you think that if you're a liberal, you think that anybody who opposes Trump is your buddy. No, these are neocon warmongering Republicans trying to take down Donald Trump, and they ran this commercial on the Russia stuff. Ooh, very ominous.
In the last year, flag-draped coffins have returned from Afghanistan.
And why are flag-draped coffins being brought back from Afghanistan? Oh, that's right, because people who are in the Lincoln Project were the ones that sent our kids halfway around the world to fight and die in the poppy fields in the first place.
Now we know Vladimir Putin pays a bounty for the murder of American soldiers. Donald Trump knows too and does nothing. Putin pays the Taliban cash to slaughter our men and women in uniform. And Trump is silent, weak, controlled. Instead of condemnation, he insists Russia be treated as our equal. Instead of retaliation, he invites Putin to America. When Trump tells you he stands by the troops, he's right. Just not our troops.
Unbelievable garbage. Now, I play that because it's shocking in its nastiness, in its misrepresentations, and its lies. But I also want to remind people, the Lincoln Project is full of the neocons, and I don't mean to pick on these people. Well, maybe I do. And maybe it's in bad taste. It's not out of envy. I'm trying to break down propaganda here. The Lincoln Project is full of the neocons that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the GOP in general told you to admire for the last 30 years. These are the people responsible for hostilities with Iran. These are the people that have gotten us involved in these endless wars. You hate them now. A lot of Trump supporters hate the Lincoln Project, as you should. But what I'm trying to make the point of is they were sold to you as some kind of American heroes and patriots, these bloodthirsty, warmongering neocons. It is no longer cool to support these wars. I know a lot of people out there think Iran is this threat to the United States, and you're down with that. Well, you're just carrying water for the Lincoln Project neocon warmongers. They're the ones that started all of these policies in the first place. I think it's a teachable moment to show you the propaganda from both of these parties do this. They prop these people up and tell you that these are the, you know, these are the stalwarts. These are the leaders of our conservative movement, Bill Kristol and these other people. And conservatives have been breathlessly absorbing everything William Kristol has been writing for the last 30 years in, what is it, National Review. And now you find out, oh, they're kind of creepy dudes. Yeah. I hope people are starting to notice that. Now, the problem is, it's not just the Lincoln Project. There are more creepy people out there. And unfortunately, Trump has got one of them in his employ. And this is Laura Ingraham who brings this person on. This is my big beef with Fox News, is that Fox News has really perpetuated every war that most people are against now. I mean, that was the beauty of Donald Trump's candidacy. He finally made it cool for Republicans to end their support for these endless wars, yet one of the endless warmongers is running his secretary, his State Department. I just found this interesting. This is Mike Pompeo on Laura Ingraham's show. As Laura Ingraham trots out Mike Pompeo like he's some kind of American patriot. Mike Pompeo is going to make some very accurate points in this thing, but I'll tell you why I think it's kind of ironic.
Laura, thanks for having me on. To hear Ambassador Rice talk that way is just crazy.
Yeah. He's talking about Susan Rice. You know, she's jockeying for vice president with Joe Biden, and I can't remember what they're referring that she said, but Susan Rice is a thug and a warmonger herself, and she's just a, you know, a Democratic Washington deep state sleazeball herself. So he's criticizing Susan Rice.
You know, she has a history of going on Sunday shows and lying. You'll all remember that back in 2012, she went on 5 Sunday shows. And Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods had all perished under her administration's watch in Benghazi, Libya. She went on and made up a story about a video and a protest when she knew full well that this was a terror attack. She did so because it was politically convenient to say that. It's the worst kind of behavior from a national security leader. And, and as for her comments about Russia, it was on the Obama watch under the Susan Rice watch, under Vice President Biden's watch, that Ukraine had one-fifth of its real estate taken by Vladimir Putin with virtually no response. It was under her watch that Syria was...
And then he goes on with his own warmongering. Now, Laura Ingraham treats Mike Pompeo like he's a hero. See, what I'm trying to tell you is that the way that conservatives were taught to follow Bill Kristol and a bunch of these Lincoln Project warmongering neocons for the last 30 years, now you're mad at them because they don't like Trump. But now Laura Ingraham and the Republican establishment is trying to get you to follow Mike Pompeo, who is just another warmongering neocon. Now, he's not wrong. Susan Rice certainly did lie on Sunday shows as National Security Advisor under Barack Obama. Her whole job was lying and covering up for Obama's horrible foreign policy. The problem is that Mike Pompeo just leaves out the fact that he also lies constantly. He lies about Russia's attack on democracy. Mike Pompeo is one that is trying to stoke hostilities with Russia, their attack on democracy. The fact that he just said that they invaded Ukraine. No, the people that in Crimea that Russia went in for voted, I think, 90% to stay as a part of Russia after the U.S. State Department overthrew the Russian-friendly government in Ukraine and installed an anti-Russia government. You had a bunch of Russians that just looked at the leadership of their capital and said, holy crap. They just overthrew the government that we were fond of, and now we're sitting ducks as ethnic Russians in this country that is now anti-Russia. Russia went in and secured that area. Mike Pompeo lies to you about WikiLeaks, tells you it's a hostile foreign intelligence operation, and he believes that Julian Assange should be brought back to the United States and hung. Why? Because Julian Assange has been exposing deep state and globalist secrets. He's just been publishing them, and he hasn't been proven to be wrong on any of them. But Mike Pompeo doesn't want their dirty little secrets aired, and so he treats him like a foreign intelligence officer. This is Mike Pompeo that told you many times that Assad gassed his own people and that we needed to get involved in Syria, that Assad must go, when it's been proven time and time again that Assad did no such thing. And he is also the person that perpetuates this. Iran is the largest state sponsor of terror, and he knows full well that Saudi Arabia has been funding groups like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Al-Nusra, the terrorist groups that have tangled with Americans. He knows that's Saudi Arabia that does that, yet he tells you it's Iran that's the problem. Susan Rice, as National Security Advisor to Barack Obama, was a degenerate neocon warmongering liar. The problem is, so is Mike Pompeo. And just as a reminder,
when I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we steal, stole. And so, it was like we had entire training courses.
Great.
It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
The glory of the American experiment. We lie, we cheat, we steal. This is the guy you want on Laura Ingraham telling you who the liars in this world are. I'm going to come right back. I want to tell you there's some other things happening right now with Mike Pompeo as your head of your State Department. I'm going to tell you what the consequences of that are that we're seeing right now. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
You know, I would tell any liberals or Democrats out there, Joe Biden's not your friend. Hillary Clinton was never your friend. She never cared about you. Susan Rice isn't your friend. These people don't care about you. They care about power, and they're corrupt. I say to you Republicans out there, Mike Pompeo is not your friend. Mike Pompeo is not some patriot, and he is a wrecking ball as Secretary of State coming from the CIA.
then I think Republicans would be well suited to start waking up to these neocons. Now you understand the neocons at the Lincoln Project because they've taken on Trump, and so now you don't like them, but you think Mike Pompeo is somehow different. No, Mike Pompeo is just a warmongering neocon just like the Lincoln Project, except he says nice things about Donald Trump. That's the only difference. I want to tell you what the results are of Mike Pompeo being in charge of our foreign policy and his hostility towards Russia and Iran and Venezuela and China and all these things. China is an issue. I'm not going to deny that. But I can't remember which founding father it was that said we should not be going around the world seeking monsters to destroy. That's what Mike Pompeo does, in direct violation of what the founders imagined. China has just signed a 25-year defense deal with Iran. Why? Because they're allying themselves and investing in Iran for oil. And why is Iran receptive to China's deal with them? Because they're targets of the United States. It's about the only way Iran can survive. They've been driven into the loving arms of the Chinese by people like Mike Pompeo. One of the secret elements of the deal signed last year is that China will invest $280 billion in developing Iran's oil, gas, and petrochemical sectors. China will also be able to buy any and all oil, gas, and petrochemicals products at a minimum guaranteed discount of 12% to the six-month rolling mean average of price. Essentially, people like Mike Pompeo have driven Iran into the loving arms of China, thus making China more powerful. China is now stronger and more energy secure because of Mike Pompeo. Russia and China are now allies because of people like Mike Pompeo. Russia and the Democrats. Let me make sure I throw that in. You Democrats out there, you're going to rue the day that you tried all this Russia hoax and tried to make Russia into this big boogeyman that interfered in our elections and bought all those ridiculous lies by the media and your Democratic politicians who don't care about you. They don't care about you. And now you, the love and light liberal crowd, is ready for war with Russia. Well, now Russia and China have teamed up. That does not bode well for the United States. Now, not only has that happened, it's Russia, China, and Iran are now allies. Matter of fact, it's Russia, China, Iran, Syria, Venezuela, and North Korea are all allies. And even Europe is resisting our endless sanctions to continue to do business with these countries. We're driving Europe to be more of an ally to Russia and do more business with Russia and Iran and these other countries. All of these countries are also pursuing what is the real threat to the United States. It's not Iran. They barely got a navy. No Air Force to speak of, and they're half a planet away. Yet Mike Pompeo tells you they're the great boogeyman. We need to counter Iran. Yet what they've done is they've forced all these countries in together, and they are now looking seriously and trying very hard to de-dollarize. That's the existential threat to the United States. You just wait till these countries just decide we're no longer using the U.S. dollar for international transactions. America will be on its knees almost overnight when that happens. And it will be because of Mike Pompeo. So get all excited about Mike Pompeo's tough talk on Iran if you want to. That's not going to work out so good with you. Good for you. This makes the U.S. actually more vulnerable. Mike Pompeo is putting the United States and the people before him, John Bolton's, the Susan Rice's, everybody that's been running American foreign policy that has told you that all these foreign adventures and that everybody's out to take our stuff, so we need to go around and put our boot on everybody's throat so they don't rise up against us. They're making America less secure, not more secure, less secure. Now, I bring it all up particularly because Iran has had a series of unexplained explosions in the last week, and the fingers are pointing most possibly at Israel. It could be us, or it could be some kind of a Stuxnet sabotage like they did to the Iranian nuclear facilities years ago. But it is not a good sign, as it's just heightening tensions. And what they do is, these events are designed to provoke Iran over and over and over again, but nobody's heard about them. Outside of my show, have you heard anything about the explosions in Iran or this provocation of Iran? No. They don't want you to know about those things. They want, when Iran does lash out, when Iran launches a missile, when they think that they've identified who's sabotaging their stuff and they launch a missile at them to make them stop, you will be told about that missile, and it will be couched as, look at Iran lashing out, being aggressive. You'll never know about the provocations that led to it. But because of warmongers like Mike Pompeo,
They'll come out and tell you it was Iran that lashed out without any reason. We were all just minding our own business, so now we must respond. And this is the pattern that gets us into wars over and over and over again. And it works because people don't pay attention to it. Do I like Iran? No. Nope. No fan of the Iranian government, but I got no beef with the Iranian citizen, and neither should you. They've not done anything to you. Ditto in any of these other countries. Anyway, that's just neocon 101. Mike Pompeo is a wrecking ball. Trump needs to fire him. Getting rid of Bolton was a good step. Terrible step to hire him in the first place, but it was only a first step. Mike Pompeo is a disaster for the Trump administration and for the United States. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. We try to finish up Friday with just kind of a compilage of some of the true insanity of the last 7 days. We call it a look back at the lunacy of the last week. Truly some just some bizarre stuff. And, you know, now you kind of have to – I've got the cancel mob. I've got, you know, gender issues in here, racism, and we'll start off with – COVID. I love people who do this stuff. You know, it's such a shame. The internet is such a wonderful thing for getting information. It's such a shame we're screwing it up and letting these people censor it and using it for all the wrong things. Somebody did a supercut. This is the media talking about the new surge in coronavirus because they got to keep the fear going.
Governors across the country and some of these hotspot states that it's good news that it's just younger people because they have a better survival rate.
That is a fallacy.
The president also points out the coronavirus death rate is down. That's true for now.
But the death toll, you can't celebrate it right now when you're seeing people heading into the hospital.
Because we've seen this story before. In some ways, it never really ended. In a lot of ways, it is worse than ever.
And of course, as we see younger people infected and going into the ICUs, it spreads to older populations. That death rate will change.
These people go home. These people infect their parents and their grandparents. Those people get sick. They end up in the ICU and they either die or they take it from somebody else that could have used it.
So actually the virus has become more dangerous because it can infect more people. It's more easily able to take root into communities. So it's changing in a worse way.
This is going to be catastrophe upon catastrophe. And just to say, hey, look at the death rate now is extremely superficial.
Does the U.S.
Don't look at the death rate. That's very superstitious. Superficial, excuse me. Yeah, there we go. And that goes on for a couple of minutes. I don't have the stomach to listen to it all. They're definitely hyping the hysteria. This was actually kind of funny to me. This was a story in Daily Beast yesterday. Okay, so here's the view from the left. Coronavirus is an existential threat to us all. Hospitals are teeming with people, needless suffering. Trump is letting people die everywhere. And then here's the headline on a Daily Beast piece. Dems fear Trump will rush vaccine to boost reelection. They don't want Trump to get the vaccine out before too long. When Trump administration officials leading the response to the coronavirus pandemic came to Capitol Hill last week, they were grilled for hours on everything from reopening schools to the efficiency of wearing masks. But as the hearing wound down, Senator Tina Smith, a Democrat from Minnesota, posed an altogether different type of question to Dr. Stephen Hahn, the head of the FDA. Could he, Smith asked, promise that the administration wouldn't rush a vaccine simply to help the president's reelection chances? Now, there's really kind of two ways to interpret this story. One is he going to rush something through just to help his reelection, but it's going to be dangerous. It's going to kill a whole lot of folks.
there's something to that maybe, but I really get the vibe that this is the Democrats saying, hey, you're not going to let Trump cure this disease before the election, are you? Please don't let him cure the disease. Do you hear that, liberals and Democrats? They're willing to have 10, 20, 30, 40,000 more people die, regular average Americans. They're okay with delaying the vaccine and saving anybody if it results in Trump being defeated at the polls. This is the lunatic left for you. Now, there is a little bit of crazy just about on all sides of the spectrum these days.
He famously sang that no one man should have all that power. But it seems like rapper Kanye West wants some of it, announcing on Saturday that he would run for president in 2020. Although it was not immediately clear if West was serious about vying for the presidency just 4 months out from the election, or if he had filed any official paperwork to appear on state election ballots, he posted on Twitter, "We must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision and building our future. I am running for president of the United States." The deadline to add independent candidates to the ballot has not yet passed in many states. West and his wife Kim Kardashian West have visited Donald Trump in the White House, and he already has at least one high-profile supporter. With Tesla CEO Elon Musk replying to the tweet, "You have my full support."
There you go. This is, I tell you, I encourage you to watch the movie Idiocracy. It is becoming prophecy as we go. The cancel mob, got definitely news on the cancel culture, the cancel mob, the cancel gang is on the march. And there's, we know one of these things, one of the targets of this that will certainly not last long.
On the streets of D.C.
I'm a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
For life.
Even with the name. You're still
even with the name.
It's offensive. It's a slur, a racial slur. I mean, that would be like having a team called the N-word.
So calling them the Redskins is like having a team called the N-word. So let's just go ahead and wave the white flag on that one. We know that's happening. Redskins will be forced to change their name. This was a really interesting story to me for the cancel culture. It's like a, it's kind of like a snake eating its tail. Some of the public figures who signed an open letter decrying the rise of the cancel culture retracted their support, presumably fearing they too might become a victim of it. 150 intellectuals, authors, and activists, including Noam Chomsky, Salman Rushdie, and J.K. Rowling, signed the letter, which was published in Harper's Magazine. The letter criticized how, quote, "the free exchange of information and ideas, the lifeblood of a liberal society, is daily becoming more constricted. As a result of an intolerance of opposing views, a vogue for public shaming and ostracism, and the tendency to dissolve complex policy issues in a blinding moral certainty." And they go on through this piece. Editors are fired for running controversial pieces. Books are withdrawn for alleged inauthenticity. Journalists are barred from writing on certain topics. Professors are investigated for quoting works of literature in class. A researcher is fired for circulating a peer-reviewed academic study. And the heads of organizations are ousted for what are sometimes just clumsy mistakes. This is what this letter said. Now, what's interesting is this letter is written by largely academics and largely liberals who are rightly, and this is the side of the left that I've always liked, is their champ. They were a champion for civil rights and a champion of free speech. Colleges were supposed to be bastions of free speech. We've seen that all change in the last 5 to 10 years. Well, these brave 150 people dared to publish this thing in Harper's Magazine, and some of them had the courage to sign it, but not the conviction to stand with it. Following its publication and pushback from leftists, some of the signatories caved and publicly withdrew their support. Quote, "I did not know who else had signed that letter," tweeted author Jennifer Finney Boylan Dog. Quote, "I thought I was endorsing a well-meaning, if vague, message against internet shaming. I did know Chomsky, Steinem, and Atwood were in, and I thought good company." So these people are abandoning their own thing. It's just a little ironic that they sign a letter against the cancel culture, and then when the cancel culture comes after the letter, they cave into the cancel culture. This woman went on to say, "The consequences are mine to bear. I am so sorry." Historian Kerry Greenridge also tweeted, quote, I do not endorse this at Harper's letter. I am in contact with Harper's about a retraction. You know, pretty easy to sign a letter, people. It's a little bit more difficult to actually stand up for yourself when the cancel culture comes for you. Some people are self-canceling, and this is probably a story of more than 7 days ago, but again, I wasn't here last week. Several animated TV series, including long-running hits, have made a decision to no longer use white actors for the voices of characters with other ethnic backgrounds. Fox Entertainment revealed Friday that, quote, moving forward, The Simpsons will no longer have white actors voice non-white characters, according to a statement. Then it goes through all the people. Hank Azaria has been doing the voice of Apu, the Indian shopkeeper, with great success for, what, 30 years on The Simpsons. But he has been replaced. He says, Fox says, quote, we respect Hank's journey in regard to Apu. We have granted his wish to no longer voice the character, the executive producers of The Simpsons said. And there were several others. Jenny Slate, I don't even want to get into him. A bunch of other actors. Many of them, unfortunately for them, were white and straight, and they no longer can do voices anymore, so they are actually self-censoring. It is really crazy to watch. It's sad to see, but it has gotten to be quite the tsunami. When I come back, some more crazy stuff, and we're going to get into this Dateline special. It is unbelievable the lengths they are going to try to prove to all of us that we are racist. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I want to remind everybody this is the weekend. The Madison household, weekends mean pizza. And if it means the same to you, or if it should, you need to check out Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt, right there by Germantown High School. Fantastic food, great staff. This is a veteran-owned business that is struggling to get through. They've done a great job. They've done a ton of takeout business while they were shut down, and these are the kinds of businesses we really need to support, and Your Pie is one that our listeners have done a great job of going out. Please tell them that WYAB sent you and tell them how much you support them gutting it through all of this stuff and being agile. They got 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas. They got pastas, paninis, salads. They've got beers out there, wines, gelato, salads, everything, anything you could want. It's a great atmosphere with a great staff. Please go out there and check them out. If you can't get out to Your Pie, again, at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway in Gluckstadt, if you can't get out there, you can download the Waiter app. You can have the food brought to you. You can also download their app. It's the Your Pie app. Ton of specials on there. You'll get points for free food. They'll give you little appetizers. There's all kinds of things. You'll get emails on things that are coming so you can make the most of your money these days at Your Pie. But check them out. Just a fantastic business and somebody we really, really, really need to support. And I feel great confidence in sending you out there. I know you'll enjoy it. So check them out. All right, let's get into this stuff. Some of these things, you know, this is just bizarro world. Men's makeup is going mainstream in America. CVS, the country's largest drugstore chain, is making the biggest bet on the category in the U.S. yet by adding a cosmetics line from Strikes, a brand launched last year to 2,000 stores, about a quarter of its total. Retail is giving more legitimacy to a small but growing group of products that have mainly been sold through high-end stores. About one-third of U.S. men under 45 said they would consider trying makeup, according to a survey by Morning Consult in September. Chalk it up to quarantine boldness and the continued evolution of traditional masculinity. Oh, my gosh. I've got to find a woman and get married before I'm expected to doll myself up before I head out for a night on the town. I wanted to play this. This is a Dateline special. I'm going to get crunched on time. But I want you to hear this experiment that Dateline did. This is an NBC News product. NBC may be the worst network, and that's saying a lot. Anyway, let me get to it. Listen to this experiment they did. They tried to find, and listen to this. They try to tell you they're talking to good white people. They're finding racism in white people who don't even think they're racist. But no, you're wrong. It doesn't matter if you don't think you're racist. You're still racist.
Dateline put this experiment to a difficult challenge, testing a cross-section of men and women, including some who have impeccable credentials in race relations. People like Rhonda, a civil rights attorney.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, here it is.
During the first half of the test, black is linked to bad, and white is linked to good.
Right.
For Rhonda, this half of the test is a breeze. She never makes a mistake.
Left.
Okay, very good. Now, we'll give you the other one.
Okay.
But let's see how she does when the information is reversed.
I wonder.
The left box, marked bad, has a white face, and the right box, labeled good, has a black face.
Left.
Suddenly, the test becomes much more difficult for Rhonda. About a third of the way through, she makes a mistake, linking the white face to the right box, even though that shows a black face.
What?
I lost it.
Okay.
Rhonda's score indicates a strong preference for white.
Is
this because she unconsciously associates white with good?
She's a liberal white civil rights attorney with bona fides to show she's not a racist. But they found it. She actually still is a racist. This continues.
Of the African Americans the professors have tested, 42% show a preference for whites. A large number, especially when you consider that only 17% of whites show a preference for blacks.
Go.
Racist!
Left. Right.
And what of the other African-Americans we tested?
Right.
Heather is an assistant district attorney.
Right.
On the part of the test where the black face is paired with the word bad, Heather has noticeable difficulty and can't finish. She showed a strong preference for African-Americans.
Now, I'll pause it there for a second. Is that a good thing or a bad? See, when the white civil rights attorney expressed a preference for white people, she was a racist. So if this black assistant district attorney expresses a preference towards blacks in this ridiculous experiment, certainly that would be bad too, right?
And her pride was unabashed.
Oh!
This made me feel more comfortable knowing that I've embraced my culture.
Left.
Randolph,
left.
A high school music teacher, also left. Showed a preference left. For his own race.
Does it concern you at all that you have a strong preference for African Americans?
Does that score mean that I do not like European Americans? No. Is my subconscious aware of the condition that African Americans are in this country at this particular point? My conscious is.
So, there you go. The upshot of this experiment was all whites are racist, but when blacks have a preference for their own kind, that is pride in their side. And the moral of it is white bad. Black good.
The professors note that there's a difference in reactions between blacks and whites when they find out they have a preference for their own race.
Of course it bothers me, but
you could say it's pride or prejudice. What blacks consider a badge of healthy self-esteem, many whites regard as an embarrassing revelation.
I mean, people, I implore to you, this is true insanity. That is... I don't even know how to describe it. It's absolutely asinine. I can't imagine any of the black people that I know, black neighbors that I just love to death, they would find that as absurd as I do. We're people. We are people. But it leads to stuff like this.
The Houston Association of Realtors is now making changes to its room descriptions on its online database, replacing the term master with primary. Master bedroom and master bath will now say primary bedroom and primary bath.
particularly in the South, we've had master-slave culture. So in a plantation, you would have a master of that domain who would then exercise control and dominance over enslaved or indentured servants. And so historically, to say that the master lives in a certain place then sort of creates a tone that minorities are excluded.
The changes come after weeks of protests for racial equality and years of
I can't go any further into that story, so there you go. The word master is certainly under attack. I don't know what they'll do with master degrees, and I feel very sorry for Master Locke as well. Let me see if I've got... Darn, I don't think I have time for this. I'm gonna check my clock here. I don't. Young Pharaoh. I might have to save this. This is kind of an evergreen. I think he's a rapper or something, but he's Young Pharaoh. He's really got it all figured out exactly what's going on. I thought it was rather entertaining, but I don't have time for that clip. I did run across this story, too. A Black Lives Matter supporting teacher took to Twitter to assert that 2 plus 2 only equals 4 because of, quote, Western imperialism. Brittany Marshall's tweet went viral after she claimed during the course of a discussion about racism, nope, the idea of 2 plus 2 equaling 4 is cultural, and because of Western imperialism colonization, we think of it as the only way of knowing. Marshall, who includes her pronouns in her bio, lists her occupation as, quote, teacher, scholar, social justice change agent, and is apparently studying for a PhD at Rutgers University. Future educators of America, there you go. 2 plus 2 equals 4 because of colonial imperialism, apparently. I don't know outside of colonial imperialism, if you take two apples and you add two apples to it, exactly what you get. But I don't think we'd like them apples. Anyway, it's a truly insane time, and it will continue to be for this weekend. We'll see what the weekend holds. Stay tuned for the rest of the WYAB programming, and I'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how